Welcome to the United Uncovered podcast as we go behind the scenes at the Theatre of Dreams. I'm Stuart Gardner from MUTV. I'm joined today by Nick Kopak, Mark Froggatt and Nathan Thomas from the club's website. Coming up on today's show, we speak to fans about the Reds' win over Arsenal and their title chances.
I think they'll probably finish second. As much as I hate to say that, but I think they'll finish second.
We discuss United's midfield options after the news that Michael Carrick will be out for up to 6 weeks. It's Peter Schmeichel's 50th birthday next week, so in light of this, we look at what attributes you need to be the best shot stopper at United.
That is an unbelievable save.
Oh, what a save from Schmeichel!
Great save by Peter Schmeichel!
And finally, we hear from current goalkeepers Anders Lindegaard and Sam Johnston.
I was very inspired by Peter Schmeichel. He's Danish, he was playing for my favourite club and he was a big star on the Danish national team as well.
Well, first of all, things are looking up distinctly for David Moyes after the Reds picked up three vital points against title rivals Arsenal, and a lot of other teams in the top six or seven lost as well. I'm going to start with you, Mark. I felt it was a little bit like old-style United-Arsenal games with the United getting into Arsenal.
Yeah, it felt like a massive game in the calendar. I mean, the games that you mentioned from kind of early noughties were kind of full of aggression and passion, and the result meant a great deal to each team's title hopes, and this was very similar. I think we had to win it. I mean, it's early days. If we had lost, we wouldn't have been out of it, but it would have been a big problem to be 11 points behind. And it was great to watch. The atmosphere was amazing. Both teams were bang up for it, and thankfully we got the right result.
Yeah, it felt like a title battle this time, because Arsenal, when they've come the last few years, there's an acknowledgement that we're rivals, but there hasn't been that sort of desperate need to pick up 3 points, because if you don't, the other one's going to gain a big advantage. Because really, Arsenal haven't challenged convincingly for the title for a number of years. But I think this season they are going to be right up there, and they've obviously started very well. So there was that sort of must-win feel about this fixture.
Inevitably, perhaps Van Persie scored the winner. A lot was said about his celebration. Last year he didn't really celebrate very much when he scored home and away against Arsenal. Slightly different this time.
Very different, yeah. And I remember last season, I was hugely impressed by Robin's reaction. I think you interviewed him afterwards and asked him why he didn't celebrate, and he said, "I still admire the club, I admire the manager and I admire their fans," which I thought was incredible for him. But I was happy to see him celebrate this time around. I think he's paid his respects now. He's a Manchester United player, he's got the title winner's medal, and it was brilliant to see. I actually spoke to Andy Cole about it on Monday and asked him, you know, was Robin right to celebrate? And he completely agreed, because he's done it now. He's showed this respect. And as he says, now he's a United striker. His job is to score goals. And he's scored what could be a massive goal in the season.
Sorry, Nathan, go on.
I don't think that it was, there's a lot of talk post-game, that it was a matter of, after what Wenger had said about him still being an Arsenal man, that he wanted to truly nail his colours to the mast. But I think it was less to do with that, more to the fact that it was a really important goal, and that, he's come here to win trophies, and he said he's not happy with the one Premier League trophy, and I think he knew that scoring that goal was massively important and enabled us to carry on that quest.
It was a beauty as well. I think part of the goal will contribute to it. It was an incredible goal.
Yeah, to be honest, on this issue, I think players should celebrate goals every time. I think he should have celebrated last year as well. I think once you make that move, you're playing for that club and you're employed by that club.
And if the fans are screaming abuse at you for 90 minutes,
yeah,
why shouldn't you celebrate?
I personally wouldn't have an issue with a player moving to another club and kissing the badge on their first match, because that's who they play for.
But with respect, we saw Ronaldo score the winner here in the European Cup, and he didn't celebrate
that. It's a nice touch the first or second time around when it's perhaps still a little bit raw. But I think as you move on, celebrate.
If Ronaldo had celebrated, I wouldn't have been angry at Ronaldo or anything, because he's doing a job for his team. He's trying to get his side into the semi-finals of Europe. That's what he does. He's a professional footballer, and I think loyalty is perhaps a bit... Fans are very loyal in football, but I don't think you should expect players to have that same sort of loyalty.
In terms of the title race, if we'd have lost that game, we'd have been 11 points behind, which is a long way back, even though it's early in the season. But here we are now, 5 points behind Arsenal, above City, I think a point behind Chelsea. Suddenly, it feels suddenly at least, it's turned right around.
Yeah, momentum is building quite importantly before Christmas, and it's something that we're famed for doing. We're enjoying the run, and I think what's important for us is that other teams are looking at us and kind of thinking, oh God, United are beginning to get things right, and, I think they might be a little bit worried about us. So
looking like United again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm quite confident again heading into the winter schedule, and hopefully we can kind of press on in the new year.
I think as well being back in contention in terms of only being 5 points behind, it's a matter of the whole morale and the good feeling it brings to the club. We didn't have the best starts of the season, and it's getting to the point now we've got a cluster of fixtures and you know, game after game, if we can keep that winning run going, then it's, you know, all the better for the club really.
I think what Nathan said earlier about winning against Arsenal was a statement really, and I think it was a statement both for the players but and also the fans, to give both of those, you know, groups that belief, that self-confidence that we are back to being Manchester United, and we're good enough to not only challenge and mix it with the big boys and you know, the top of the league, but actually beat them and you know, hopefully from here go on and like Mark said, we've got that momentum. It's 9 games unbeaten now, which is a pretty long run, and probably a longer run than people probably think, because there is this perception still that we've only just started to climb out of this hole. But you know, 9 games, yeah, about 2 months.
We're talking about turning points. I think the real turning point really was the Stoke win. I mean, that was incredible. We didn't play amazingly well that day, but we were 2-1 down and turned it around in pretty emphatic fashion. Mm. And that's classic Manchester United. So I think that's where that was the springboard for what might come.
Okay, well, we've heard from our club media. Let's now hear from our fans, and we'll start by getting their reaction to the Reds' victory over Arsenal.
Massive. We needed that big boost for us because we're above City now, and we needed that because knocks City down, knocks Arsenal down, because Arsenal are just pulling away with it. Mesut Ozil's just insane. But keep playing the way we are, we're going to get there.
I think we did the whole league a favour with Sunday's result. So I think it's opened it up now. If we're there or thereabouts Christmas, I think we'll be in the top three at least by the end.
Just the way the team played was really impressive. You know, the heart they showed to battle and you know, just keep going.
The biggest rivals for me at the minute are probably going to be Liverpool. I think they've come on outstanding recently. Suarez is just, can't believe how good he is. But I think either probably Arsenal, Chelsea or Liverpool.
I think it's City. I think three teams bringing in new managers is always going to, it's going to be hard for every team doing it.
I don't think there is a set team who are the main rivals to Manchester United this year. So at the end of the day, we're still the reigning champions of this league. If, you know, if things go the right way, like they are doing at the moment, I can see us catching up. But the main rivals are any team who can challenge for the championship, but ultimately the teams who want to get into the Champions League. And you can't write Tottenham out of that equation either, because obviously they started the season quite well. But I can't see it much being, you know, the top four, you know, Chelsea, City, Arsenal, maybe Liverpool, because obviously Suarez and Sturridge this season have been like impeccable form for themselves as well.
I think the way things are going at the moment is possibly Liverpool. You know, I mean, we showed Arsenal how it's done with the day, didn't we? Yeah.
I think they'll probably finish second. As much as I hate to say that, but I think they'll finish second. But and I think they'll probably win one of the cup trophies this year, either the League Cup or the FA Cup.
Well, I think they could do it. They could easily do it. Bit of hard work, you know, but they've got potential. Yeah. They've got the team. I think the confidence is growing with the new manager.
Yes.
You know, so it's, yeah, it's there to be had.
It'll be tough this year. Losing Fergie, it's always going to be tough. But I think we'll get top four. Possibly top three. Just depends on, like, if we sign anybody else in January. I don't think we will, because the type of player that we'll need is someone who can help us in the Champions League as well.
I think we can be there or thereabouts. Hopefully Champions League, maybe an FA Cup run, maybe a quarter or a semi-final in the European.
Well, it was confirmed this week that Michael Carrick will be sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks with an Achilles problem. Carrick, of course, has become, well, a virtual ever-present in most of his time at Manchester United.
Yeah.
And a busy time of fixtures, how much of a blow is that to United?
It's a massive blow, to be honest. He's one of those guys that never misses a game, as you say. I think it's him and Patrice Evra who regularly clock up 40, 50 games a season. I think he tweeted this morning saying he's not used to being injured. This is a strange thing for him, which is true. And as you say, we've got so many games in December and it's going to be difficult to fill that void. But I think the encouraging thing is that Phil Jones has stepped into a similar role, a more combative role, but into that position, and he's impressed of late. And I think Fellaini's improved in the last couple of weeks, so hopefully those two guys can fill that gap.
I think these, you know, when you lose a player like Carrick, you know, it often brings the best out of other players. You know, I remember losing Roy Keane and seeing Phil Neville get a, you know, a strong win in the midfield and cope more than competently. So, you know, I think United have got the strength in depth. We saw, as Frankie said, we saw Jones play really well on the weekend. Fellaini also has done better. And, you know, and players like Cleverley, you know, the opportunity is there now for them to take it, you know, and stamp their place in the United team.
Yeah, inevitably someone always steps up. And it's unfortunate it usually takes an injury or a suspension to somebody else for someone to get that chance. But football is all about taking chances, and now we need to see somebody step up and say, yeah, I can be the main man in United's midfield.
Well, is this the chance for Fellaini to really make his mark after, you know, an up and down start to his United career, understandably so? Is this now his chance to say, yeah, I'm the man?
I think this is the perfect opportunity for him. He's come here with obviously a lot of expectation, big price tag. Not easy to settle in, but he's had a bit of time now. And I think now is the time to show United fans and his teammates and himself that he can play at this on this level. And we know he can because he's done so well against United before in an Everton side. So with all due respect to Everton, with better players around him, he should be able to shine for United. So I'd like to see Fellaini given that chance to step into that Carrick role.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Carrick used to take a bit of stick on MUTV on phone-ins. I'm not quite sure why, but he always used to. I think now that we're without him, that might people might realise the value to the team.
For years, I think I have, especially I know Nick has, we've championed Carrick for a long, long time, and it annoys me, that fans overlook him. He is a pivotal part of our team, and that was reflected at last season's awards night.
When Players Player
of the Year, yeah, so they know how good he is, and it will be a loss. So I think, yeah, we might struggle. We might lack a bit of creativity, but as Nathan says, hopefully some of the guys on the brink, maybe even Anderson, who's not had too many games, hopefully those guys can come in and do well.
Stuart, you mentioned 9 games in December. I think Carrick, I mean, he's obviously missed more than 9 games in the last few years, but in terms of missing games through injury, that's probably about the number he's missed. He's been left out of games, rested for like League Cup matches, but generally he's been ever present. So it's going to be a hole that we need to fill, but you know, I'm confident we've got the player to.
Scholes, is still available? Give him a ring.
Phil Neville.
Yeah. Got some lads on the books, they can fill it. Nicky Butt.
I don't blame him being injured if he's going to miss Hull on the 26th of December and Norwich 2 days later.
What better way to spend Christmas than not?
Well, let's hope it's 4 to 6 weeks. Let's hope it's more 4 than 6. That would be ideal. Now, it's Peter Schmeichel's 50th birthday on Monday. When you read something like that, you find it hard to get your head around it. Peter Schmeichel at 50, you're still sort of frozen in time from Barcelona.
It makes you realise how long ago the treble was, which is a long time ago. It is strange. You still think of him playing and dominating Old Trafford. You can still see him barking at his defence and scaring opposition defenders. And he's a massive presence at Old Trafford. Thankfully, we get to kind of see him around the place when he's acting as an ambassador. But yeah, it's incredible how time flies.
I don't know if anyone's going to be brave enough to ask him if he feels old now. I think he's still got a bit of fire in him.
But where would you put him in the list of great goalkeepers at United?
He's got to be. It's him and Edwin van der Sar, isn't it? I think Schmeichel probably did as much as Cantona in making those first few Premier League titles possible. Schmeichel would win you at least 10 points a season with his saves. And like Mark said, he was just such a commanding presence. And I think it's a very different goalkeeper to Edwin van der Sar.
Yeah.
Schmeichel kind of ruled with fear.
More in the Harry Gregg mould.
Yeah, van der Sar ruled by a calmness. He spread this unflappable kind of air of confidence, went right through the back four when he was there. You never worried at all. Schmeichel maybe a slightly more unpredictable, but he could do things and make saves that no one else could.
I think that unpredictability as well, had an effect on the opposition attackers insofar as when you're going up for a corner, to have this huge Scandinavian powerhouse in the goal, it's going to be a pretty daunting prospect for anyone. And I think some of the saves that he made, one of my particular favourites was Zamorano against Milan, and his arms were almost made of steel, and they just didn't even bend when this ball hit it. It was, incredible saves. And I think, like Nick said, it's so difficult to rank van der Sar and Schmeichel because they were so, as good as they both were, so different as well.
If he's 50, you think David De Gea's 23, where might he end up in this sort of list of all time?
I think he. It's difficult to say. He's only been here for 2 and a bit years, but I think we all know he's been incredible for about a season now, or perhaps more. He's on record for wanting to be world number one, and I think, although it's hard to say, I think it takes a brave man to bet against him achieving that mission. I spoke to Chris Woods a few weeks ago, and he thinks he's got everything needed to kind of do that. He's got all of the attributes, and if he can maintain consistency, he will achieve that.
I think one of the most telling things with De Gea is, of course, he's got ability in abundance, but it's the way that he's handled the pressure, which has killed so many United goalkeepers. You know, after Schmeichel, you know, who are all very talented goalkeepers, just couldn't handle the relentless pressure of one mistake, and it's an utter disaster.
And the fact that he is only 23 now, and he handled that pressure when he was 21, mm-hmm. that's incredible, really. Like you say, older, more experienced goalkeepers came and couldn't handle that pressure, and very good goalkeepers. You know, United don't buy flops, generally. But De Gea's come, and he's been able to sort of live up to the expectation and become one of the, if not the best goalkeeper in the Premier League at the moment. And you know, he's in a weird situation with his country where he's got some incredible goalkeepers ahead of him. But I can see him definitely being Spain number one.
I always find it amusing. I like to think back to about a year and a half ago when people were saying De Gea was a failure and Joe Hart is the greatest goalkeeper there's ever been. I mean, look how that's changed now. So I think people should be a little bit more patient, especially when there's young players involved. And I think a lot of people have learned a lesson with regards to De Gea.
Well, ManUnited.com's Adam Marshall caught up with Anders Lindegaard this week, and he started by asking him why he wanted to become a goalkeeper.
I was very inspired by Peter Schmeichel. He's Danish, he was playing for my favourite club, and he was a big star on the Danish national team as well, and he was a great character in Denmark at the moment, and it inspired me a lot to become a goalkeeper. I was an outfield player before that.
And in terms of similar question, which player did you most admire, past or present? So I suppose Peter was the past. Is there any particular present goalkeepers you admire?
Well, Peter inspired me to become a goalkeeper as he was acting on the pitch. I think it was very iconic. But as a football player, a player I admire most is Eric Cantona. I think is great character. I mean, he stopped playing football to listen to jazz and make movies. I mean, that is just a character out of the football world. I think that is. I really have respect for that.
What are the key attributes to being a good goalkeeper, Anders?
I think it's having calmness. Obviously, there's a lot of like physical abilities you need to have. A lot of people says that God's gift to the goalkeeper is a physical height, and I guess there's some kind of truth in that. But having calmness, having a good eye for the game, I think is the most important part of being a goalkeeper.
Is there anything different to being a goalkeeper at United? Do you have to concentrate even more because sometimes you're not in the game as much, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. It's more mental game in United than it is other places because there's so much more to do. It's much easier for a goalkeeper in a small club with a lot of things to do to hide your errors. So if goalkeeper in a small club loses a game 4-1 and he makes one big mistake but 7 brilliant saves, no one will mention the big mistake. In a club like United, you're only gonna called up at maybe 10 times during a game. And where 7 of them is a pass, 2 of them is catching a cross, and the last one is catching a ball straight at you. You can't really hide any errors you make here.
And you can watch that interview in full in this week's United Uncovered newsletter. Well, Anders was saying there, it's very difficult being a goalkeeper at United as there's more pressure. You make one mistake and everyone writes you off. I mean, that has actually happened with De Gea, hasn't it? As we were saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I spoke to David recently for the new edition of the Inside United magazine, which is out this week. And I remember when I was writing that piece, I came across something that one of the journalists for the Daily Express had written after just 2 games of David here. And he said, basically, his name's David De Gea Quintana, but don't bother remembering it. You won't need to. He's not going to be here very long. So, yeah, writing him off straight away.
Who was it? Name the name. Name names.
Can't remember his name. No. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
But yeah, he's, like Mark says, like knee-jerk reactions, and I think we all knew that it was going to take a little bit of time for him to settle in. He's, you know, a young kid coming from Spain, new type of football. But now, you know, forget about not bothering to remember his name because he's going to be gone soon. He's played 97 times for United. Yeah. He's almost had a century.
But it's not an issue anymore. It's not even an issue. No one even thinks about it anymore.
No, not at all. And speaking before about the differences between Edwin and Schmeichel, De Gea is, I think, he's much more in the Van der Sar mould of goalkeeper. He's not particularly vocal, but he has this calmness, and he, you know, off the pitch as well, you'll know. He's just cool as you like. You know, nothing phases him. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't get agitated.
No.
He's just really laid back, and I think that really helps his goalkeeping.
What about the other young lads, Ben Amos? Well, I was going to say young, really. I think he's 23 now. Not that that's old, which I was. But anyway, Ben Amos, Sam Johnston. For them, is it one of those where they need to go? Will they need to go out and get first team football somewhere, or is it something they could still learn here?
I think there's always things to be learned here, but I think there's probably more to be gained, from going out on loan. I think Ben's been out a few times, and Sam. I know Sam went out this season. Did he have a finger injury, or he had to come back, which was a shame. But no, both are very talented goalkeepers, two young English goalkeepers as well, which bodes well for the club and for England as well. It's difficult for them because De Gea is such a dominant presence, and obviously there's only one position. It appears to be something of a dead end for them, but they're both really talented lads and they've got a bright future ahead.
Goalkeepers do generally mature later, so it's not uncommon for a goalkeeper to only break into a first team, especially a first team as strong as Manchester United or another top Premier League side. It's not uncommon for them to only hit those levels mid to late 20s. De Gea is obviously an exception to that, but there aren't many goalkeepers who were playing in their early 20s at some of the best clubs in the world. So I think Ben and Sam will get chances, and like Mark says, they probably will have to go out before they get the chance at Manchester United. They will have to go out and get experience elsewhere.
I think they both also deserve praise for their professionalism insofar as that, you know, it must be pretty galling for them to have someone like De Gea, who's a similar age to them, cemented in that number one spot. And they could have easily have took the hump when he got the spot and, you know, gone off elsewhere. But they've obviously looked at it and thought, you know, I can develop here as a goalkeeper. You never know what might happen. But even if I don't get into the United team, you know, I can really improve my trade here, you know, to put me in a great position to go and find another club somewhere along the line.
Well, Sam Johnston recently sat down with MUTV. Let's hear from him now.
What's it been like working with Chris Woods? He's obviously a top goalkeeper in his time. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's good. You know, really nice guy, a lot of experience. And he's brought something different. You know, I think at my age as well, it's good to get, you know, different points of views and stuff like that. And you figure out what's the best. But yeah, he's a nice guy, good coach. I think all the lads have enjoyed working with him. So yeah, it's been good.
Are you hoping to go out on loan again this season, get some more experience?
Yeah, of course. I think as a goalkeeper, and like I said, my age, you need to play. Play all the time, competitive football, in front of crowds, you know, that's the only way you get experience. So hopefully I will do. But I don't know what the plans are at the moment.
Have you enjoyed being part of the under-21 setup as well?
Yeah, of course. You know, that age group of we've all been together since we were 10 years old. So, you know, but I think you need the next step of, like I said, the competitive football in the league, to then bring back to Man United and push the people who are in front of you.
What are the strengths of the other keepers at the club, do you think? And what do you think you've learned from them? Because they're all quite different keepers, aren't they?
United?
Yeah.
I learn from David and Anders every day. You know, Anders is the eldest. So you're learning from him, how he goes about doing stuff. Also, you're learning from David, with him not being much older than me. And, you know, playing quite a lot, so you know, at my age you just pick up stuff from watching them and training with them every day. They're a good set of keepers, along with Ben Amos and myself, so I think you should ask Chris Woods how he finds working with us.
Who do you think the best goalkeeper in the world at the moment is?
At the moment?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good goalkeepers around. Also, they're getting younger, which is good that teams are relying on young goalkeepers and trusting young goalkeepers. But, you know, I think David's up there with a lot of them. He's only 22. I think you've also got the likes of the more experienced Peter Cech. I think Hugo Lloris at Tottenham, who just come to the Premier League, got used to it, he's good. So
very high standard.
There's a few that I like to watch and catch the eye.
So that was Sam Johnston, and plenty more content about Manchester United's goalkeepers via manunited.com. Just before we go, we've almost got through a whole podcast without mentioning Adnan Januzaj, but we're going to squeeze him in at the end because reward for his recent terrific form.
Yeah, he's recently won United's Player of the Month for October, beating none other than Wayne Rooney and De Gea, which is quite a feat. And it just caps, well, not only what's been a wonderful month for him, but an impressive start to the season. He's made his debut, as everyone knows. He scored twice at Sunderland and announced himself to the world. A couple of man of the matches here and there, and he's generally been amazing. So I think it's been a great reward.
And probably most importantly, that new 5-year contract, which everyone at United was absolutely delighted to see him sign. He's a really exciting player, and I think we're going to be treated to a lot of good moments in the years to come.
He's just completely unfazed by everything, you know, personal awards and big contracts. You know, he might look about 12 years old, but he's clearly got, you know, a wise head on his shoulders. And, you know, if he progresses at the rate he's doing, you know, as Nick said, we've got a really exciting prospect on our hands.
Yeah, I don't think it's the only time he's going to win Player of the Month over the coming years. Well, that's it from the United Uncovered podcast this week. Thanks to Nick, to Mark and to Nathan, and we'll see you again very soon.